All right. Well, let's go ahead and start. Jim and Stuart Sims, great to have you with us this morning. And father and son aviators. Well, I don't know, Jim, you haven't flown in a while, but anyway, glad to have you been with us and to give us an update on Ethnos 360. Jim, you've been doing this for a while. Stuart, you just are in the process of coming into it. So, Jim, let's start with you. Just give us an update, you and Linda personally, and just some other news that you may have. You mentioned something about a helicopter that we would be interested in, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. Tom, and the committee there, it's great to be with you this morning. It is exciting what God is doing, particularly in New Guinea. Some of you know that we have a brand-new helicopter. Not only is it physically new, but it's new to the field. It's called a Robinson R-66. It's a turbine helicopter. It's small. It's a smaller helicopter than the Long Ranger, the one that we've been flying there. So it was going to be interesting to see how it fit in as far as the loading, because the loading is always the thing that we're most interested in. Is we're trying to get the missionaries out there with as much of their things that they need for literally living out there and for ministry. So we were concerned a little bit when we talked about going for a helicopter that was a little bit smaller than the Long Ranger. And I know some of the missionaries were a little bit concerned about it, and they're saying, well, you know, hopefully this will be a good move. But as they say, the proof's in the pudding. Well, when the R-66 got there, we had a pilot that had already trained, had just finished the same kind of training that Stuart is going to be completing here in the next month. So he was our first R-66 pilot trained for New Guinea. And this is the first R-66 in the country of New Guinea. They'd never had one in the country before. So this was new to the country. It was new to us. And the Lord just worked in a magnificent way, because our check pilot that's training Stuart and that trained Josh in McNeil, we did not have anybody that could check him out in New Guinea. So one of the reasons that Stuart's training got delayed some is our check and training pilot, he had to stop training Stuart and go to New Guinea and check out that pilot, Josh, all these locations. So when they got there, one of the first trips that they did, as you know, we had a Kodiak was the new airplane for us some years ago, and it replaced the Cessna 206, and it was basically 2.5 times the size of a 206. It was just an amazing machine, and we have three of those in New Guinea. So the best way that we utilize the helicopter and the airplane is we work them together. It's a blended effort. So we had a family coming back from the States, going back into their mission station. And so this was going to be a good test. Normally the man that works in supply, he has all the supplies there at the center where all of our guys live there in Gibraltar. They call that Lopilo. Well, normally he has all the supplies in the supply house there, and he figures up the manifest. Just so you guys know, this is kind of not a hit and miss proposition when we fly. Everything we fly is weighed. We have a weight for it to make sure that we're not exceeding the performance envelope of the airplane or the helicopter. So in a situation where we have control of that, we have everything that they need. They have a manifest, and they know how much weight it is, and we know, obviously, what kind of cube we have as far as small packages, large, and some that probably won't even fit in the airplane in a normal configuration, but we work it out so that we can get them out there. So the family came back. They had flown in the we've got about five or six people going back in. And this is what we've got. We figured it would take at least two Long Ranger loads to get them in. Now, this is not the supply guy figuring it. These guys don't figure quite as close, and they're not quite as good as the guy that the supply guy back in the store. So this was an estimate on their part. And they said, well, if we have enough for two Long Ranger loads, we know that the R66 is smaller, so we're going to go the conservative route. We're going to say it's going to take at least four loads of the R66 to get us and all of our stuff in. Well, the amazing thing happened. Our check pilot, the guy, our check and training pilot, Brian Pruitt, he looked at the load and he said, well, you're thinking four loads. I'm thinking it's going to be two and a half loads. And so they kind of went on that premise. So they started loading the R66 to get all this stuff in and the people in. And at the end of the day, everything that they thought it was going to take four R66 loads to get in, they got in two loads, the same, basically the same amount as the Long Ranger. And Brian said the comments of the missionaries was they were very, very, very pleased. So this is a win-win for us, and for the missionaries. It will not take long for that news to get out. Do not be concerned about this helicopter. It is a little bit smaller and it doesn't take as much internally, but this, performance-wise, it's very strong for a small helicopter, and it's going to be able to get the job done. So we were really excited about that. So, the biggest thing that we're faced with is trying to get some pilots out there, and that's where Stuart and his family are coming in. So now we have one pilot that's qualified, is trained in the R66. That's Josh Verdunk. So he's already in the country, and he's actually flying. It might be interesting just to let you know how God does some things that we had no clue how we were actually going to get all these guys checked out. Even the fact that the airplane, the helicopter has never been in the country. They call that a first of type. And so when you have a first of type, then you have to supply all the handbook, how you're going to fly this helicopter or this airplane and how you're going to maintain it. So it's on the, it's the task of the operator to provide those books to the, in this case, it's called CASA. That's their equivalent of our FAA. So the amazing thing was when Josh got back into the country, he called back and said, okay, I'm in the country, the R66. Of course, it was in a 40-foot container. Our guys had taken it out of the container and put it all back together again. And so now they said, we're calling CASA and we're going to have the guy come down and make an inspection on the helicopter. So they called Port Moresby, talked to the guys, and he said, yes, I can come down. About two or three days later, they said, oh, no, we can't come down. We're not going to be able to do that. What we believe actually happened was that the guy that is responsible for the helicopter operations in New Guinea just quit. So that left, so they're still the authority, but they didn't have a guy that was helicopter. So one of the men at the CASA called us and said, hey, I'm going to come down, like we said, and we'll go from there. So this guy that knows nothing about helicopters came down. He looked at the helicopter. He said, I'd like to see the paperwork. So they gave him the paperwork, looked at it. Josh had already taken some written exams in Port Moresby in preparation for getting his helicopter license. So we're just wondering, okay, how's this going to go? We got a guy that's really not a helicopter guy. How is he going to do this? So he said, the first thing that you do is called a return to service flight. So when you have an aircraft, airplane or a helicopter that's been totally apart, like the R-66 was in the container, that's major maintenance. So they call it a return to service flight. So he says, well, I've looked at the paperwork. It looks good. I've looked at the helicopter. It's brand new. I don't see any issues here. Is this ready to fly? And they said, yeah. So Josh gets in. And
yeah, something's going on with your sound that you're being blocked. I'm not sure what it is, but
it's the best part of the story.
But yeah, we just lost the best part of the story, I think. Now we lost you all together. Yeah. Stuart, are you able to fill in the details of the story he's telling us?
Yeah, I think the long and the short of it is that, there was no helicopter certified, government official to do the check ride, and the airplane government official hopped in, kind of flew around with him and signed off on Josh and the helicopter being able to fly. So it was really kind of a miracle. It's really totally not procedure to do that kind of thing. That's really not a standard practice in the government. So that was, there's a lot of question marks about how this, whole program is going to be, set up and signed off governmentally, speaking. But that was a real answer to prayer. And so they were able to get that up and running while the check pilot was over there. And they were able to visit a lot of the tribal locations where the helicopter is going to be providing service. And they were able to, distribute fuel throughout the country, because there's not a lot of gas stations for aviation out and about.
Right.
So it was a really, really beneficial time for them over there.
Does this burn avgas or jet fuel, or what does it burn?
It burns jet fuel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more prevalent, throughout the world. It's way cheaper than gas. So that's one of the huge benefits.
Yeah. And what's the rated lift? The story was interesting that they got so much more into it. What's the difference in the lift capacity of the Long Ranger compared to the R-66?
Yeah, I don't know the Long Ranger specifically. I know in the R-66, so one of the major benefits of it is you can put a lot of weight on the hook for sling loading that just about matches the Long Ranger. So you're looking at 2,900 pounds max gross weight when you're doing sling load weights, and that's very similar to what the Long Ranger is. It's the interior cabin size that's been, people I think are maybe a little bit concerned about, but that's part of the training I'm getting out in Arizona is how to maximize, there's a lot of puzzle, piecing when you're loading this thing up and, trying to max out the weight and, volume at the same time, basically. So it's kind of tricky.
And what's the seating capacity then? Obviously it's a trade-off, boxes or people, but, how does that work?
So one pilot, and then you got, four passengers, one in the front, three in the back. So.
Yeah, we've seen some of the families larger than that. So it turns into two trips or the Kodiak, I guess, gets on call.
Yep. So, usually when you're trying to move lots of parts and pieces anyways, you're planning on more than one trip in the first place. So, that's always something that they've had to contend with when moving from an interior jungle strip even farther into the mountains or farther interior. That's usually been the plan anyways, to make multiple turns with the helicopter to carry all the weight that and cargo that an airplane could deliver in the first place.
Yeah. Maybe before we go to your training, Jim, and just the phases you're in now, the transition, what's the desired number of pilots to support the number of missionaries on the ground out there? You're filling one of those needs, but is there a greater need for more pilots still?
Ultimately, for New Guinea, they're planning to have 3 helicopters and at least 3 helicopter pilots. So I don't know what the ideal would be, but that would probably, I guess, would be the minimum.
Right.
At least
right.
For the helicopter piece. No, I'm not real clued in on the airplane side of things for New Guinea specifically.
Now, where will you and your family live? I know you're supporting the missionaries that kind of live out in the bush, but will y'all live in a more, city type setting, or will y'all live out in the bush too?
We'll be living at the Missionary Support Center. It's called Lopulo. It's several miles outside of a town, the town of Goroka, in the highlands of New Guinea. And that's the central location where all Ethnos 360s airplanes and helicopters are located. And so from there, that's the hub, basically. And we'll be living, I think, around maybe 70 other families on this mission center. And that's where the school is that our kids will go to, a K-12 school. And any other support missionary basically is located there at Lopulo in the highlands. Now, there are other mission support centers, but that's the largest of them all.
Is that more than just Ethnos 360? Are there other organizations there too? Or
on that specific center, that's just Ethnos 360. Yeah.
So let's bring you back, your part of the story back in. I guess, as I recall the events, your training was interrupted because the instructor pilot had to go to New Guinea and check out the guy that was out there with the new airplane. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So he was able to that whole story Dad was talking about was during the middle of my training. So we took the opportunity to drive back across the country and do some more packing and close out our house and enterprise, which that was a huge answer to prayer. Someone's already leasing it from us. And, Dad, it looks like you might be speaking. I'm not sure. But, after we came all the way back to enterprise, we drove back to Arizona, worked on some more flight training. And had to take a break to come all the way over to Florida for pre-field orientation. So that's a mandatory training set up by our mission, Ethnos 360. So it's a one-week kind of cram course, taking snippets of what they would out of the larger missionary training that everyone usually goes through. So we're covering topics such as, just cultural adaptation and coworker relation, managing conflict biblically and child safety, just all array of topics. So those are really, it wasn't an easy week by any means. They were full days, but it was really encouraging in that we were at the headquarters of Ethnos 360 down in Sanford, Florida, near Orlando. And during that time, we got to just hear from most of our instructors were missionaries who had been overseas, 10, 20, 30 years or involved in church plants. One of ours was a really successful church plant missionary from the Philippines. And so they all just spoke through scripture from their lives and a biblical basis for the classes they were teaching us. And I took a neat picture, and I can share it, but it obviously won't transition over to the audio portion of this. But while we were there, they have a Bible. There's a room full of Bibles that have been completed in translation. And it's just so neat to see the walls lined with, you know, scriptures of all these tribal languages that have been translated and presented the gospel. And so I asked, I said, well, how many, you know, are we working on? And he said, we're working on 120 different translations right now, currently in progress across the world. And he said, we're expecting to have 10 completed in the next 3 years, 10 translations each year. So that was just really amazing to see, you know, once again, what God has been doing and what he is continuing to do, you know, through the missionaries overseas. But, and be a small part of that. It was really encouraging. So moving forward, well, I'll head back to Arizona by myself. And our family has already put about 9,000 miles on the kids and the van. So we thought it'd be best for them to stay back east. So I'll go to Arizona by myself and finish up a few more weeks of flight training. And then I should be complete out there. So we're looking at early August completion for that.
And what is it that your dad was referring to, some, I guess, some unique training that wasn't possible, wasn't done in his day, but what is the difference in the training now?
Yeah, they've really taken situations that they've learned from and put us through the ringer, so to speak. But, you know, one of the things is maximizing the loading of this helicopter and just, you know, a lot of situational awareness that I'm having to learn, being now that I'm the only person operating and potentially refueling and loading while surrounded by crowds of people. But, you know, that all kind of takes another level of awareness than what I'm used to flying in the Army, where I've usually had a crew to help me do all that and manage all that. So we'll be transitioning from loading and, you know, kind of awkward load scenarios is what they call them, and then moving on to sling loading, which is where we can really maximize the use of the helicopter for missionaries. Oops, I'm not sure what I just did. But. All right. So, yeah, we'll be moving into sling loading and mountain operations. And sling loading is probably the most dangerous of any of that kind of training. There's a lot that goes into it, a lot that can go wrong. So, yeah, that's what we'll be working on coming up. And, yeah, looking forward to, you know, it's been neat to see my ability to progress, you know, not to brag or anything, but that's encouraging to know that it's happening, you know, little by little. Able to take the kids up for a short little turn around our house and the airport pattern there, and, you know, to kind of give them an understanding. And, you know, we've been talking about it, and now they can finally see, oh, okay, this is part of what we're trying to do. So that was neat to be able to show them that.
Yeah.
How do they feel about the move?
I think they are, they've always been excited when they talk about it, but I think they're also kind of just wanting to be in a spot and maybe, you know, reconnect with friends for a minute. Cause we've really been in kind of the leaving stage of all this really since January, and just a lot of back and forth. So I think that's, you know, playing a little bit of a toll on them. So we're looking forward to getting them back into Enterprise and seeing some of their friends before we head out.
And I assume that Brent has been homeschooling them while you were in Arizona and traveling, but is that new task for her, or was she homeschooling before?
She was already homeschooling our oldest two. So that's kindergarten and first grade. And she continued that in Arizona. So that's over with, you know, for the summer now. So that's a huge answer to prayer, and you know, one less thing to think about for now. But yeah, the plan is to have them in the mission school when we go forward into New Guinea. So I think that'll be a big blessing for her.
And what's your timeline then look like to actually be on the ground in New Guinea?
The government rep who handles passports and permits and that kind of thing, he said by the end of August, we could expect to have the required paperwork. So our work permits have been approved already. And so now we're waiting for the embassy, the PNG embassy, to approve our visas. We have our passports already, but once we get the visa approval, that will be all the required paperwork. So we'll start calling them in early July to make sure they've received the documentation and are kind of going through their process to make it. So, yeah, so we're looking at late August, late summer, early fall time frame.
All right.
I didn't really answer the question.
And what's your support count looking like at this point?
I think right now we're at about 50% of what's recommended by the mission. So we're coming along. It's getting there little by little. It's been neat to see God provide people even who aren't, you know, donating financially, but who are just coming alongside and encouraging, or, you know, watching our kids or helping us logistically. You know, there's a lot that goes into support besides financial. Obviously financial is necessary to even get there, but it's been neat to see the body pull together and help us out in a big way.
Where are you home, church?
Our Hope Church is in the Enterprise. They're our sending church as well. First Baptist Church Enterprise.
Other questions?
Out of this hub, how many locations do you have to go to?
Really?
In the field.
What was the last part of that question?
You know, out of this hub where you fly out of, how many different locations do you go to?
Oh, in New Guinea?
Yes.
Dad, you might be able to answer that question better than me.
Still can't hear you, Jim.
Can't hear
you. Is he not?
Make sure
you got 40 or
30. 40.
40. Wow.
Well, Stuart, you are supplying, taking stuff out to one of your friends you grew up with, isn't that right?
They are supported by aviation. I don't know if it's directly to them or if it's just part of the process, but there's basically no part of any process out there that's not supported by some kind of aviation.
Wow, for sure.
What else should we be asking you, Stuart?
What would you be asking us?
Or just what, you know, what's on your mind? What can you tell us?
Well, we're excited to still, you know, be in the process here, even though it's been kind of stretching, for sure. But, it's neat to see our government paperwork is approved. The first part of it was approved really quickly. And, we're looking forward to getting back here to Enterprise and kind of be getting closer and closer. I think some of the things, you know, to be praying for, one is the completion of the government paperwork. Another one is just, Brent and I, as we kind of just wrap our minds around, you know, how to prepare the logistics of all this, what to pack, what to send, you know, how to travel with four kids internationally, you know, four young kids. And just, you know, one of the things we learned about this week at our orientation is leaving well. So being able to kind of complete our time here in the States and being able to grieve that in a good way. So just preparing our children's hearts and our hearts to be away from people and places and familiar things and transitioning moving forward. I think those are some of the real big prayer requests that we have. The Lord.
That was the age of your children again?
The names? Is that...
their ages, yeah.
Okay, they're all 1, 3, 5, and 7 right now. So everybody, all our kids are born in June, July, and August. So we're all about to level up one here.
Wow.
Sound like a good 2-year plan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Any other prayer requests that we ought to keep in mind for you?
Yeah, I think those things I mentioned, you know, the financial support, you know, is a big piece of this too, and continuing to raise our partnership team in that way. So, finances, paperwork, logistics in our hearts, you know, just that we'd really be able to, you know, do this in our own strength. And, I think that's a good way to start failing quickly. So just that the Lord would, you know, enable us to, you know, remind us that it's not our strength, that it's His that we can really rely on and have to rely on. But, yeah, I think those are the things that come to mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to prayer. And
how about Bubba, you want to start us?
I'll just close it out after a bit. We'd like to pray for both of you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to hear from Jim and Stuart and what's going on in Ethnos 360 plus what's going on in Papua New Guinea and the training for him and the transition for the family. So we just thank you for his heart and willing to come out of the military where he's already had some training and go into a mission field that desperately needs him. Is one of the pilots there to reach these at least 40 locations that he will be going to. So we just pray for, say, the support to be raised, Lord, that he would get the support he needs, but also just the transition of the training, the back and forth, or just be with the family as this is a new venture for them, and particularly for the four small children, Lord, that this definitely is a transition for them, that would go well, and they would enjoy their location. When they get there, there will be friends that they can enjoy the friendship and then the training, the school there, that all that would go smooth. So, Lord, again, we just thank you for the work that Ethnos 360, which I think was New Tribes Mission, has done for years to reach out to people that don't have the word. And, Lord, to hear about the many Bibles that have already been translated and the more that will be translated. So we just thank you for your handing this. And as Stuart said, Lord, that they would rely on the Lord, that this is challenging for them, but it's not a challenge for the Lord. So that they would rely on you, Lord, and you would take care of them and see their ministry prosper. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Lord, we thank you for the time we've had this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity that we get to talk to Jim and Stuart and hear about the history and the future of this mission. Lord, we just ask for your hand of protection and blessing on Stuart as he prepares with his wife and family to move. We pray that you will be in their marriage, be with their children, and give them peace of mind, Lord, and just work out all the little details and surprises that may come up, or that they continue to have faith in you, that you will work out all the different scenarios that will come up, Lord. We just ask that you prepare the way and bless this day for them, and as we look forward to seeing what you have in store for them in the future.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time as well. We are grateful to you just the way, just the hearing of this translation work that continues, and the gospel reaching these remote tribes and peoples, different languages, and yet part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission in this way. Thank you for Jim and Linda and their many years of faithfulness in serving in PNG and now in the role that Jim fills. And I pray that you continue to bless their labors and to see more helicopters and equipment fielded as well as people. And we just marvel at the timing now for Stuart and Brent to step into this, drawing from Stuart's experience as an Army aviator and now to transition to a very different mission in some ways, even though it's still a helicopter and yet very, very different mission. And so we pray that you would guide him through the remainder of his training, that he can draw on the experience that he's already accumulated through his years with the Army. Bless his family as they prepare to go, as they say goodbyes, as they complete training, and that you would continue to open the doors with all of the government and the legal paperwork, just as many things have happened very quickly already. And yet we pray that the visas would be approved, and we pray that Stuart's support would be raised for the family, and that they would go knowing that they're in your care and that they're in your calling, that you would comfort them. And just Stuart's words about grieving the leaving of family and understand what that means. But we pray that you would just affirm this calling on them as they go and as they resettle. That they would continue to see your hand at work in their own lives and through them in terms of the support that they're providing to these missionaries in very remote locations. Lord, we thank you again just for the technology that enables all this to happen, even the helicopters, linguistics, and even our communication here today. So our prayer is that you'll be glorified through all of this. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen.